Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, October 19th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
the FDA is poised to allow a mix-and-match approach to COVID booster shots.
Democrat Joe Manchin casts doubt on this month's deadline to act on President Biden's economic agenda.
Netflix headlines today's earnings parade on Wall Street.
And we'll bring you an exclusive interview with British Prime Minister Boris Johnson.
Former President Trump sues to block documents in the January Capitol riot, plus the Jefferson statue will be relocated from the New York City Council. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshaw in sports. The Red Sox crushed the Astros to take the lead of the ALCS. The Rangers won in overtime in Toronto.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are gaining this morning. It is coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 13 points this morning. Dow futures up 70. NASDAQ futures up 37. The DAX in Germany is little change. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 1.58%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.39%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.1%, up 87 cents at $83.31 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up almost 1%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thanks. Let's begin this morning with the latest on the pandemic and news on vaccines. The FDA is poised to approve a mix-and-match approach to booster shots from different manufacturers. We get the story from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
This allows people to receive a different COVID-19 vaccine as a booster than the one they initially received. CDC will set protocol. Meanwhile, Moderna CEO Stefan Bancel, in an exclusive Bloomberg interview, says he expects good news.
We expect this week, potentially, the authorization of a booster. There is a CDC meeting which is scheduled this week to make a recommendation. And so I'm hopeful that by the end of the week, everything is wrapped up, and by next week, Americans who got the Moderna vaccine.
Which Bancel says opens up more opportunities for vaccination. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And thank you. There's also news on the return to office front, and the pandemic changes the way we work. And now American Express says it allow employees to work wherever they want for at least 4 weeks a year. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has more.
Amex says it will place employees into one of three groups, hybrid, on-site, or fully virtual. And in a memo to employees, CEO Steve Squeri said a, quote, large majority of workers will likely work hybrid schedules, with 80% having told the credit card giant they'd like to come back to the office at least some of the time. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. We now turn to Washington, where work continues on President Biden's economic agenda. The president plans separate meetings today with moderates and progressives to find agreement on his plans, but at least one Democratic senator is not holding out much hope. Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Democratic Senator Joe Manchin doesn't believe Congress can come to agreement on President Biden's economic agenda by the end of the month. Party leaders want to vote on the two main pieces of the plan by October 31st. That's when funding for highway maintenance runs out. But it's also when the UN climate conference opens in Scotland. And that's significant because the plan includes funding for clean power. But Manchin opposes that plan, too. Democrats are worried intra-party squabbling will damage their chances in next year's midterms. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Let's turn to Europe now. In a Bloomberg News exclusive interview with Boris Johnson, the UK Prime Minister said the global climate talk he hosts in 12 days' time will be extremely tough. He's making a last-ditch call on world leaders to take concrete steps to protect the planet.
We need the nationally determined contribution. We need to keep 1.5 alive. We need to restrict the growth in temperatures to 1.5 degrees by the end of the century. We think that with the commitments that we're seeing, we could do it, but we're going to need to see some real action from the participants in Glasgow.
Prime Minister Boris Johnson spoke exclusively with Bloomberg News Editor-in-Chief John Micklethwaite, and stay tuned for more of that interview coming up in about 10 minutes from now.
All right, Karen, let's turn to Wall Street now, where the focus is on corporate earnings. After a slow start to the year, Netflix is expected to report solid subscriber growth for the third quarter. Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky has more.
Two words underpin Wall Street's optimism for Netflix: Squid Game. The hit series, along with a fading of last year's pandemic effect, suggests that Netflix may be able to top its guidance for 3.5 million user gains, according to Bloomberg Intelligence. It sees growth accelerating into the fourth quarter and 2022 as well, with a solid slate of shows and films. The results are due after the close. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thank you. And we have fresh news on this year's retail trading frenzy this morning. The SEC has come out with a new report focused on trading of GameStop shares earlier this year. And let's get the latest live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The SEC report pushes back against the narrative that retail traders sent off a massive short squeeze by driving up stocks that hedge funds were betting against. Instead, the regulators say GameStop purchases by those covering shorts were a small fraction of overall volume, and it was positive sentiment, not the buying to cover, that sustained the weeks-long price appreciation for GameStop. The SEC says the wild trading raises questions about thinly capitalized brokers and their ability to meet margin calls. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And speaking of trading frenzies, cryptocurrencies could be in for a wild ride this week as the first U.S. Bitcoin exchange-traded fund gets launched today. Let's get that story live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Bitcoin is climbing toward its all-time high. Right now, it's around 62,000, and it's feeding off of optimism over the upcoming launch of the first Bitcoin ETF. Asset manager ProShares plans to start the fund on the New York Stock Exchange today. It's the latest sign that crypto-related investments are becoming more mainstream. Bitcoin has more than doubled since mid-year when worries about its energy usage and a harsh crypto crackdown in China sent prices tumbling below 30,000. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Renita, thanks. Watching futures move higher this morning. S&P futures are up 14 points. Dow futures up 80. NASDAQ futures up 40 points. 10-year Treasury is up 4/32. The yield 1.58 on the 10-year. Yield on the 2-year note 0.39%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 49 degrees in Central Park. Still clearing a tractor-trailer accident on northbound New Jersey Turnpike near the Interchange 14 off-ramp. We'll get more on that in traffic shortly. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Former President Donald Trump sued to block the release of documents to the U.S. House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. According to the complaint, Trump argues that lawmakers have made an overbroad request for presidential records. The National Archive has told Trump the records would be turned over to the committee on November 12th, absent of any intervening court order. Former President Trump sat for questions under oath yesterday in a lawsuit by protesters who say his security team roughed them up in the early days of his presidential campaign in 2015. Trump was questioned in Trump Tower in New York. Attorney Benjamin Dichter represents the five plaintiffs.
We examined Mr. Trump concerning a variety of issues, including statements he has made at various campaign events and rallies that counsel believes encouraged violence at those events or encouraged security guards to engage in violence.
Attorney Dichter says the plaintiffs were protesting negative comments Trump made about Mexico and Mexican immigrants when they were attacked. New York City officials voted to remove Thomas Jefferson's statue from the city council chambers. The city's Public Design Commission voted unanimously to expel the statue of the former president tied to slavery. Opponents of the move spoke like city council member Joseph Borelli.
This is cancel culture at its worst. I wish this would go to some sort of a referenda or polling, because I think the majority of New Yorkers would disagree with this. I think the Bill of Rights, for example, has worked out pretty well for New Yorkers over the past 225 years.
Councilmember Borelli says the statue has been in the city council chamber for 188 years. A protest strike has shuttered businesses and schools in Haiti. Unions and other groups vow to continue the shutdown today in anger over worsening crime as authorities try to rescue 17 kidnapped members of a U.S.-based missionary group. State Department spokesman Ned Price.
It is no secret that Haiti faces severe security challenges.
Spokesman Ned Price. Jury selection resumes for a second day in Georgia in the trial of three white men charged in the 2020 murder of Ahmaud Arbery, who was black.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Nathan. Might be a good idea for the Astros tonight to not let the Red Sox load the bases. Every time they do, everyone comes home. Grand slams in each of the first two innings of Game 2 in Houston, and Kyle Schwarber hit one in the second inning of Game 3 in Boston. J.D. Martinez and Rafi Devers hit the slams last Saturday, and they both homered again. The Red Sox won 9-3. They lead the ALCS 2-1. Battle of AFC division leaders in a game with seven lead changes. Derrick Henry's third touchdown came with 3 minutes left. The Titans stopped the Bills at the end. They ended Buffalo's four-game winning streak 34-31. Giants have another home game Sunday, and you can be sure if they fall behind against Carolina, there'll be plenty of boos. There were in the lopsided loss to the Rams. Leonard Williams wasn't thrilled with that.
We're in our own home stadium. I don't want to be hearing boos from our own fans. I understand that they have a right to, you know, be upset as well, because they're coming to see us put, you know, good football on the field. And, you know, we haven't been winning up to date. And but at the same time, I don't like that.
Perhaps booing because the Giants have lost 26 of their last 35 home games. Rangers enjoying Canada, a win in Montreal last night, 2-1 in overtime at Toronto. Artemi Panarin, the game winner, 40 saves for Igor Shesterkin. First NBA game of the season tonight in Milwaukee. The defending champion Bucks take on the Nets, who lost to the Bucks in overtime of Game 7 in the playoffs. Obviously no Kyrie Irving due to not getting the vaccine. And there's a mandate for state employees in Washington. Washington State football coach Nick Rolovich refused to get vaxxed. He got fired. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports, Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures up 13 points. Dow futures up 78. NASDAQ futures up 35. 10-year Treasury yield 1.58. This is Bloomberg. Good morning. Almost 5:12 now on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks and U.S. stock index futures are on the rise this morning as the prospect of solid corporate earnings helps to counter concerns stemming from elevated inflation. Treasuries are advancing, the dollar declining. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 13 points. Dow futures up 72. NASDAQ futures up 34. The DAX in Germany is little changed. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 1.58%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.39%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.2% or 95 cents at $83.39 a barrel. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Karen, good morning. The FDA appears poised to allow a mix-and-match approach to COVID booster shots. This as it prepares to authorize Moderna and Johnson & Johnson boosters. Former President Donald Trump filed a lawsuit in an attempt to block the release of documents to the Congressional Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. South Korea's military says North Korea has fired at least one ballistic missile into the sea in what was likely a weapon designed for a submarine-based launch. Major League Baseball, the Red Sox trounced the Astros 12-3. Boston now leads the ALCS 2-1. Monday Night Football, the Titans beat the Bills 34-31. NHL, the Rangers beat the Maple Leafs in overtime 2-1. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager. Let's hear more now from our exclusive interview with Boris Johnson. The British Prime Minister sat down for a conversation with Bloomberg News Editor-in-Chief John Micklethwaite just 12 days before world leaders meet in Glasgow for the COP26 Climate Summit. They discussed topics ranging from climate change to the UK's relationship with China. Let's listen in to some of that conversation now.
You look around the world, the biggest source of investment at the moment, the biggest source of FDI is China. $130 billion they're investing overseas at the moment. You look at, you've come up with this strategy saying that you will let them invest in non-strategic assets, which seems to be not Huawei, not technology, and not nuclear power. And I wondered what sort of things will they be allowed to invest in? You talked about infrastructure. They're the biggest infrastructure.
Si monumentum requiris circumspici.
When I was running
London, I went out several times to China and had fantastic trips there.
Things have changed, haven't they?
Investment in stuff that drives jobs and growth in this country, whether it's in development. Look at what's happening in Greenwich, Vauxhall Nine Elms. Things have taken off there because of Chinese investment. So I'm not going to tell you, John, that the UK government is going to pitchfork away every overture from China. Of course not. China is a gigantic part of our economic life and will be for a long time, for our lifetimes. But that does not mean that we should be naive in the way that we look at our critical national infrastructure, the way we look at, you mentioned nuclear power, you mentioned 5G technology. Those are all legitimate concerns that any government, many, many other governments around the world have. But I've said this many times, it's worth repeating, I am no Sinophobe, very far from it.
Do you think you're the last Sinophile in the cabinet?
No, I expect there are lots of... China is a great country and civilisation.
What about wind power? Would you let them buy offshore wind power? That's infrastructure.
I think you'd have to look at what was your defining as strategic or critical. But I certainly think that having our trading relationship with China, if you look at it, it's in spite of all the difficulties, in spite of all the sort of angry conversations about or the difficult conversations about the Dalai Lama or Hong Kong or the Uyghurs, and where we will continue to stick to our points, right? We will continue to stick to our views. But actually, trade with China has continued to expand for a very long time, and I think probably will continue to expand, as I say, for the rest of our lives. That doesn't mean that we should be, we should be cautious about how we handle our CNI and about how we handle FDI from China into some of our sensitive industries. That's why we brought in some of the legislation that we have.
We were talking about China.
Yes.
Obviously a huge deal in COP. Xi Jinping looks unlikely to come at the moment. What do you think is a realistic goal? What's your personal goal in terms of COP?
Look, I think COP was always going to be extremely tough. We're hoping that we'll get a good turnout in spite of the pandemic. What we want people to focus on is their nationally determined contributions in reducing their CO2, making those hard pledges. Plus, we want commitments on coal, cars, cash, and trees. So we want the world to move away from coal by 2040, 2030 for the developed nations. We want to make sure that everybody stops using hydrocarbon-fueled internal combustion engine cars, and the UK is in the lead there. We said that we would stop that by 2030. We want a big package for the developing world to help countries that haven't been historic emitters to cut their carbon. So we need that $100 billion a year. We need that $100 billion. The last thing is we want to make sure that we plant millions and millions of trees to help to fix the carbon and to restore the balance of nature. So we need the nationally determined contribution. We need to keep 1.5 alive. We need to restrict the growth in temperatures to 1.5 degrees by the end of the century. We think that with the commitments that we're seeing, we could do it, but we're going to need to see some real action from the participants in Glasgow.
Prime Minister, thank you for talking to Bloomberg.
Thank you.
That was UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson in an exclusive interview with Bloomberg Editor-in-Chief John Micklethwaite. Stay tuned for more of their conversation coming up next hour, right here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Ahead of the market open on this Tuesday morning, futures are moving higher. S&P futures up almost 14 points. Dow futures up 80. NASDAQ futures higher by 38 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 4/32. The yield, 1.58%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.39. Bitcoin, just shy of $62,000. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit them anytime at mynycb.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour, beginning with new developments in the battle against the pandemic. Bloomberg News has learned the FDA is planning to allow a mix-and-match approach to COVID booster shots from different manufacturers. Moderna CEO Stéphane Bancel tells us he expects an FDA decision soon.
We expect this week potentially the authorization of a booster. There's a CDC meeting which is scheduled this week to make a recommendation. And so I'm hopeful that by the end of the week, everything is wrapped up. And by next week, Americans will get the Moderna vaccine.
Moderna CEO Stéphane Bancel made the comments in an interview with Bloomberg's Emily Chang.
Well, meantime, in Washington, Karen, President Biden holds meetings on his economic agenda with progressives and moderates today. Still no agreement. And West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin says there's little chance it gets done this month. Jim Kessler is co-founder of the center-left think tank Third Way.
These next few days are to determine whether that infrastructure bill can move before October 31st, or, you know, whether we're going to have to wait because there's still distrust on reconciliation. Reconciliation will not be done by October 31st. That is a certainty.
Jim Kessler of Third Way spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On, heard weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, Nathan, on Wall Street today, we have fresh news on the retail trading frenzy from earlier this year. The SEC has a new report focused on trading of GameStop shares, and Bloomberg John Tucker joins us live with the details. John.
Karen, the report debunks some conspiracy theories. Skyrocketing meme stock share prices weren't necessarily driven by short covering. It was positive sentiment, not the buying to cover that sustained the weeks-long price appreciation for GameStop. The SEC said the wild trading raises questions about thinly capitalized brokers and their ability to meet margin calls. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Speaking of trading frenzies, crypto could be in for a wild ride this week as the first U.S. Bitcoin exchange-traded fund gets launched today. Let's get that story live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita.
Nathan, Bitcoin is climbing toward its all-time high right now. It's at around 62,000, and it's feeding off of optimism over the upcoming launch of the first Bitcoin ETF. Asset manager ProShares plans to start the fund on the New York Stock Exchange today. Bitcoin has more than doubled since mid-year when worries about its energy usage and a harsh crypto crackdown in China sent prices tumbling below 30,000. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And this is Bloomberg.
5:33 on Wall Street. We're at 48 degrees in Central Park. And the off-ramp from the northbound New Jersey Turnpike truck lanes to the airport still closed for an earlier truck fire. Details coming up. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. A House committee tasked with investigating the January 6th Capitol insurrection is moving swiftly to hold at least one of Donald Trump's allies in contempt. That is happening as the former president is pushing back on the probe in a new lawsuit. Trump is aggressively trying to block the committee's work by directing former White House aide Steve Bannon not to answer questions in the probe, while also suing the panel to try to prevent Congress from obtaining former White House documents. Meanwhile, former President Trump sat for questions under oath yesterday in a lawsuit by protesters who say his security team roughed them up in the early days of his presidential campaign. Trump was questioned in Trump Tower in New York and on video for his testimony to be shown to a jury if the case comes to trial. Attorney Benjamin Dichter represents the five plaintiffs.
We believe there is ample evidence to submit to a jury that Donald Trump
has, in fact, directed his security guards to engage in the use of physical force and violence on numerous occasions, both before and after the incident at issue.
Attorney Dichter says the former president was questioned for several hours. New York City officials voted to remove Thomas Jefferson's statue from the city council chambers. The city's Public Design Commission voted unanimously to expel the statue of the former president tied to slavery. The statue has been in the city council chamber for 188 years. Jury selection continues for a second day in the trial of three white Georgia men charged with the 2020 murder of Ahmaud Arbery. Speaking outside the courthouse in Brunswick, Georgia, family attorney Ben Crump said that publicity when video of the incident recorded by one of the defendants went viral is actually what led to the arrests.
It wasn't until we saw that video 72 days later. We the people are the reason why that murderous father and son lynch mob finally got arrested and charged.
Attorney Ben Crump said about 20 would-be jurors spent yesterday answering questions. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Burton Accountants and Advisors Sports Report with John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. Red Sox fans enjoying October baseball. The Sox are 4-0 at Fenway in this postseason. They had that win over the Yankees and then 2 over Tampa Bay. And last night, 12-3 over Houston to take a 2-1 lead in the ALCS. Four Red Sox home runs, including yet another early grand slam. They hit slams in each of the first two innings of Game 2. And Kyle Schwarber hit one in the second inning last night. J.D. Martinez and Rafi Devers hit the slams in Houston, and they both home it again. Game 4 is tonight. Also tonight, Game 3 in the NLDS with Atlanta up 2-0 on the Dodgers. The Mets looking for a general manager, having already been turned down by Theo Epstein. The Post reports Oakland's Billy Bean and Milwaukee's David Stearns are also not interested. Monday Night Football in Tennessee.
Tannehill gets Henry on the right side. There he goes. 25-30, 35-40, 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, end zone. Ladies and gentlemen, 76 yards. Derrick Henry, touchdown.
Yes, that is Titans radio. First to three touchdowns for Henry and a 34-31 win over Buffalo. Both teams now 4-2. Rangers in Toronto got 40 saves from Igor Shesterkin, and Artemi Panarin scored off a faceoff at 3:48 of overtime for a 2-1 Ranger victory. The NHL has suspended San Jose's Evander Kane for 21 games. He tried to use a fake vaccine card. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver asked about Kyrie Irving not playing for the Nets due to being unvaccinated. It was his hope the players would agree to mandatory vaccine without Kyrie. The Nets begin their season tonight in Milwaukee. They lost narrowly to the Bucks in the playoffs. Milwaukee went on to win the championship. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports, Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York landlords have sued to block a law extending the state's moratorium on evictions and foreclosures, warning of devastating consequences to small property. The Rent Stabilization Association of New York City and five small landlords are seeking to suspend the law. New Jersey's sports betting industry has become the first in the U.S. to take in more than $1 billion worth of bets in a month. Over $82 million was kept by the casinos and tracks after winning bets and other expenses were paid. New York Attorney General Letitia James ordered two cryptocurrency lending platforms to stop operating in the state and sent three others letters with questions about their operations. James did not name the firms, but Nexo Financial says it received a cease and desist letter. A source says Celsius Network was among the firms that received a request for more information. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. Bloomberg Radio's on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WFLA in Orlando, I'm reporting that the head of the FCC is taking aim at illegal text messaging.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about Santa's return to Macy's, but you better have a reservation.
I'm Caroline Hepcom, Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on Bloomberg's exclusive interview with Prime Minister Boris Johnson, where he discusses taxes, climate change, and his views on Chinese investment into the UK.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting some striking Kellogg workers have gone back to work.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Scandal overshadowed the recent annual meetings of the International Monetary Fund and World Bank. The IMF's managing director, Kristalina Georgieva, had been accused of bending to political pressures and improperly influencing a World Bank report in her previous job as the bank's second-in-command. The IMF's board recently decided to let Georgieva stay on, but its endorsement was tepid. The independence and credibility of the IMF and World Bank are indeed compromised, but not by any one individual. Rather, the harsh political reality is that both institutions are paid for and directed by member governments. It's hardly surprising that those states use their leverage to try to advance their own agendas. Holding managers to account won't suffice unless governments hold themselves and each other to the same standards. This will demand, above all, greater openness and transparency at both institutions. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. This is Bloomberg. And it's coming up to 5:41 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks and U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning as the prospect of solid corporate earnings helps to counter concerns stemming from elevated inflation. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 16 points, Dow futures up 96, NASDAQ futures up 46. The DAX in Germany is little change. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 1.58%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.38%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1 1/3%, up $1.10 at $83.54 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.9% or $15 at $17.80.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1659 against the dollar, British pound 1.3797, and the yen's at 114.10. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Democratic Senator Joe Manchin said there's little chance that Congress can complete work on President Joe Biden's economic agenda by the end of the month deadline set by his party's leaders. Biden talked with Manchin by phone yesterday, and he met with Senator Bernie Sanders. President Biden has added his condolences to those expressed by many Americans following the death of former Secretary of State Colin Powell. The president has ordered flags at half-staff through Friday evening. Major League Baseball, the Red Sox trounced the Astros 12-3. Boston has a 2-1 lead in the ALCS. Monday Night Football, the Titans beat the Bills 34-31. In the NHL, the Rangers beat the Maple Leafs in overtime 2-1. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks for coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get more now on what's happening in the nation's capital, where, as Michael mentioned, it is sounding like it's going to get tougher for Democrats to agree on President Biden's economic agenda before that self-imposed Halloween deadline. Bloomberg Washington correspondent Joe Matthew is with us this morning from our Bloomberg 99.1 studios in the nation's capital. Of course, Joe is host of Sound On here on Bloomberg Radio. Joe, good morning. Once again, as we've been discussing for so long here, Joe Manchin is at the center of the discussions. But that deadline is really more about agreeing as opposed to getting the full package passed. Or am I wrong?
Well, no, that's true. And, you know, to your point that it's getting more difficult, I don't know that it can at this point because they just have never been on the same page here. And so Senator Manchin is saying really out loud what everyone in Washington seems to already know. These self-imposed deadlines, or the deadline specifically on October 31st, would be close to impossible to reach. There's still no bill, Nathan. I mean, Democrats, even if they did agree on major components of the spending plan or how to pay for it, and they don't, does not mean that we have a bill in writing here. And even if one emerged in the next couple of days, it takes time, right? The CBO would have to score the legislation. Lawmakers would need time to read it. Voting would then transpire. None of that is likely to happen in the next 2 weeks. So we are looking at October 31st as a bit of a soft date here. Now, look, anything could happen. The president today is holding a couple of important meetings. As Bloomberg has been reporting, there'll be a meeting with moderate House Democrats and a separate meeting with progressive House Democrats. And coming off the conversations that the president had yesterday with Joe Manchin, with right. Bernie Sanders and Pramila Jayapal, the progressive caucus chair in the House, be interesting to see what his posture is. I heard the word urgency over and over in the press briefing yesterday with Jen Psaki. They seem to feel like something is in the offing.
Yeah, something else that's being said out loud here, that sense of urgency. But, you know, President Biden's been holding meetings like this off and on for literally months now. Are we seeing really any fruit coming out of these meetings?
Not really. I mean, this is why a lot of people are asking about, why now? And Jen Psaki said, you know, is referring to this increased frequency of meetings. Apparently, they had a number of conversations over the weekend that they felt were productive. But, you know, the other thing that happens on October 31st, and I think this is what they're really hoping, the president really wants to have something to bring to COP26, something at this UN climate summit, if only, Nathan, an agreement in principle to have something inside this reconciliation bill, because Joe Manchin is also saying no, as you've been reporting, to the clean electricity payment program that would green up the power grid. Those are the kind of headlines that Joe Biden was hoping to bring with him to COP26. And right now he's got empty pockets.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, because Joe Manchin, along with the top line amount that he's been talking about, really wanting to stick to that $1.5 trillion as opposed to $3.5 trillion.
Yeah.
Now he's coming out explicitly and saying that he opposes that particular climate provision, the Clean Power Payment Program. If the president doesn't come to COP26 with some kind of climate provision to carry forward here in our last minute, what's the political impact?
Well, look, he already has made clear, and Boris Johnson told Bloomberg just yesterday, this is going to be tough. President Biden has made clear that the United States and other member nations here showing up need to do more, not less, in terms of managing climate change. And we could find that the United States is, in fact, not leading without this. Some reports, though, have suggested that there could be a deal in the works. There might be a little bit of sunlight with Joe Manchin. Imagine a world in which coal plants were allowed to be part of this program and receive incentives if they use carbon capture technology. That might be something that moves the senator from West Virginia, but we'll see what this day brings.
Yeah, the stay in perhaps the next 12 with that October 31st deadline now less than 2 weeks away. Joe Matthew, host of Bloomberg Sound On and, our Bloomberg Washington correspondent, thanks for being with us this morning here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen.
All right, Nathan, it is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute, resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Food and Drug Administration has the authority to allow mix-and-match COVID-19 vaccine boosters under its emergency powers, even if the vaccine makers don't apply for it. A Senate spending bill would provide the Labor Department's Workplace Safety Agency with more than $74 million to hire 200 additional workers for enforcement activities. The 11th Circuit let stand a Florida law requiring felons to pay off all debts related to their convictions before they can vote.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, thanks, Jeff. Now another legal story we're watching brings us to Manhattan, where the new U.S. attorney is the first black person in charge of the Southern District in its 232-year history. Damian Williams spent the last 3 years directing the Southern District Securities and Commodities Fraud Task Force. He's a Yale Law School graduate who clerked for Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens. For more on Williams and the legal challenges he faces, June Grasso speaks to Bloomberg legal reporter Christian Berthelsen.
He's taking over at a time when the office has been involved in some controversies.
Yes, you know, the past 4 years under the Trump administration were challenging for the Southern District. They included the unceremonious firings of two U.S. attorneys during that period and, you know, a fair amount of meddling from Maine Justice in the affairs of the Southern District, the pardoning of defendants who were convicted by this office, including Steve Bannon, Mr. Trump's sometimes political advisor. And there have also been missteps by the office itself. There have been multiple cases in recent years where the office was found to have withheld important, potentially exculpatory information from defense lawyers for defendants that were being prosecuted by the office. And it has been castigated by judges for not playing fair. So there is a fair amount of work to do in rebuilding the reputation of this office, both with the public and with the judges who oversee the cases they bring.
The Southern District, known for prosecuting Wall Street crimes, financial securities, fraud. During the Trump administration, those crimes were not given the same attention. Any indication about what his focus will be?
Not really. You know, there's no public hearing for U.S. attorney nominees, so he hasn't had any kind of public airing of his record or what he sees as the office's mission. Enforcement of white-collar financial-type crimes did fall precipitously during the Trump administration. Part of that is because, you know, those types of cases tend to come up when you have downturns in the market or downturns in the economy. However, you could also infer that it just was not a priority of the prior administration to bring those kinds of cases. So I think you could expect to see an effort to bring more of those.
And that's Bloomberg legal reporter Christian Berthelsen speaking with June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. S&P futures are higher up 15 points this morning. Dow futures up 89, Nasdaq futures up 39. The DAX in Germany, the CAC in Paris, and the FTSE 100 are all little change this morning. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.58%, yield on the 2-year 0.39%. NYMEX crude oil is up about 1.2%, up 95 cents. It's at $83.39 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.8% or $14.40 at $17.80.10 an ounce. The euro, 1.1668 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3813. And the yen is at 114.11. Still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.